Maseches Brachos, Perkei Mishnah Aleph 5:1. Here we begin to talk more about prayer, but here in the attitude one has when he approaches prayer and the kavanah he needs for it. So the Mishnah begins, Ein omdin lehispalel ele matoch kovid rosh. One may not stand up to pray, the Shmona Esrei prayer, ele matoch kovid rosh, unless he's coming from a place of seriousness. Now, kovid rosh literally means a heavy head, as opposed to kalus rosh being lightheaded, lightheadedness. The Bar Tanur defines kovid rosh as having two elements, hachna'a, which means submission and humility, and mora, which means awe, A-W-E, and reverence. So when you confront the infinite Hashem, it's essential that you enter into that prayer with humility, submission, slash reverence, awe. Chassidim HaRishonim Hayu Shom Sha'achas U'Mispalim. The early pious ones, this of course aren't Chassidim in terms of the 17th and 16th century, Chassidim in Poland, this means Chassidim, people who went beyond the letter of the law. So those holy men, Hayu Shom Sha'achas U'Mispalim, they would take a whole hour to prepare themselves to enter into the Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Arya Kaplan famously understands this would be the preparations required for the meditative experience that the prayer was, and maybe still is. They would take an hour to prepare themselves. K'tei she'chavnu es libam l'makom, in order that they should be able to properly direct their minds l'makom, to Hashem. Here the word makom is used to describe Hashem, translated obviously or commonly as the omnipresent, the all ever present, but it means it's referring to Hashem in his infinitude, that he is everywhere, as the Gemara says, that the world is not his place, rather he is the place of the world, meaning that God is infinite and we're somehow subsumed within him, or an expression of his will, and he's outside of our universe, space and time. So that's quite a mouthful and quite a mindful. So to direct yourself properly, that you're confronting the infinite, requires some time and preparation, and the Chassidim Rishonim would wait a whole hour to do it. The Bavli actually says the way they would pray in the Chassidim Rishonim is they would take an hour to prepare themselves for Shmona Esrei. They'd pray Shmona Esrei for an hour, and then they'd take an hour to internalize the experience they had three times a day, which means, of course, 9 hours of praying, and that's how the Bavli learns, and the Gemara actually asks, well, if they're praying 9 hours a day, how did they get their work done, and how did they learn the Talmud Torah, and it says that indeed they had special bracha because of their holiness, they had special Siyat Tishmaya, and getting more done in a little bit of time. Alach Lamaisa, we don't wait an hour, of course. However, there is an actual minimum requirement that before one steps into Shmona Esrei, he must at least wait and gather his thoughts the amount of time it takes to walk 8 amos, which is not very much. It's a few seconds. But the point is, it's actually a specific din that you may not, say, run into shul at mincha time, see, they've just started Shmona Esrei, and just run straight into Shmona Esrei. No, you have to stop and wait a few seconds, the time it takes to walk, 12, 15 feet, something like that, a few seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, and then you can go into your Shmona Esrei as a minimum waiting. Afilu melech shol b'shlamo. Now, in terms of the kavana required, if a person in the middle of Shmona Esrei, even if a king asks his welfare, so a king says good morning to you, lo yeshiveno, you may not answer him. This, of course, is in contrast to what we said before in the second parak, that when it comes to Kriya Shema, that a person is allowed to interrupt in the middle of a be'emta, in the middle of a paragraph for Yira, and at the breaks, even for Kavod, for initiation. In fact, this is even less than, this is Shoah, this is to respond to a request. So this would be even less than according to Rabbi Yehuda. You could, respond be'emta even for Kavod, and it's the king has Kavod, and Meshiv Shalom Kol Adam, we said, you can respond hello to anybody. But we're saying even a king now who responds to, initiates conversation with you, you may not respond to him at all. And obviously you can't initiate a conversation with him. The Gemara says this is talking about a king who's a Jewish king who will understand that you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei and won't say off with his head. But a non-Jewish king, since he may well indeed say off with his head for not giving proper respect to the crown, a person, of course, could stop in the middle of Shmona Esrei and greet the king, the non-Jewish king, because he's at risk of his own life. And of course, don't require him to risk his life in the middle of Shmona Esrei. But the point here is that the honor that's a king deserves, of course, is secondary to the honor that the King of Kings, God, deserves. So if a person prays Shmona Esrei, he stops for nothing. V'afilu nachash karuch ala kevo lo yafsik. Even if a snake is wrapped around your ankle, you may not interrupt. Now, here we're not talking about a poisonous snake again, because if a poisonous snake was wrapped around you, you could do what you can to save yourself. And of course, if a snake is coming your way and it's poisonous, then you can do what you can to get out of the way. We're talking about a non-poisonous snake, who of course would be rather distracting, yet you cannot interrupt. Now, according to most poskim, yafsik means to interrupt with words. That means you can't talk, but you could move physically out of your place to get away from the snake or to disentangle yourself from the snake and then resume shmon eser, as long as you don't talk. It's actually quite a tumult in the bir halacha. But the Mishnah Berurah comes out, lahalacha. Bottom line is, in a shas adchak, in a present situation, a person could relocate himself in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei as long as he doesn't talk and he hasn't violated this halacha.